Now turn, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Matthew and to the 16th chapter of that Gospel which we've read together. Thirteen years ago today was the day that I was installed as the minister in Kilrats RP Church. It was a Friday, and it was a nice sunny day, a nice warm sunny day, and it seemed like a good idea to me during the past week to return to preach on the text that I preached on my first sermon here in Kilrats, and that's what I want to do today. Last week I was speaking on some words of Moses about choosing life. And today I want to look at some words of the Lord Jesus Christ about losing life and about finding life. And those words are found in Matthew 16, verse 25. This saying of Jesus that is recorded here is the saying of Jesus that is found more often than any other saying in all of the Scriptures. There are six places in the Gospels where we are told what we are told here in Matthew 16, verse 25. Jesus here has something that he taught about life, and he taught it again and again. It's something that he wants us to have impressed upon our minds, that we would know that this is the truth about life. Jesus says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." It's all about losing life, and it's about finding life. Now let us think, first of all, what Jesus is saying here about losing life. In these words, our Lord speaks to each one of us about a life that we are going to lose. Now, there are two ways in which we can lose our lives. We can either lose our lives willingly, or we can lose our lives unwillingly. And I want to think, first of all, about those who unwillingly lose their lives. And here, in particular, thinking of those words of Jesus at the start of the verse, where he says, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it." Whoever desires to save his life, whoever wants to save his life, will lose that life. Now, what did Jesus mean when he said that? And why did he keep saying that again and again in different situations? Was Jesus just saying that we're all going to die sometime? Well, no, he wasn't saying that. He was saying something much more profound than that. Jesus is talking here, and he is raising the question about who is in charge of our lives. The person who wants to save his life is the person who wants to be in charge of their own lives. The person who wants to save his life is the person who wants to hold on to that life for themselves. They don't want to give in to any outside pressure. They don't want anyone else being in charge of their life. They want to do their own thing all the time, as much as that is possible. And that's the way we all are by nature. When we were children, and it was a matter of what are we going to play, well, we all wanted to play what we wanted to play. We didn't want to play what somebody else wanted to play. We wanted our own choice, our own option. And that's an attitude we're born with, and it's something that we don't really just grow out of. All of us know that we only have one life. And it's our natural inclination that we want to spend our time doing the things we want to do rather than being told by somebody else, do this, do that, and do the other. And even if that someone else happens to be God, this is our life, and we want to do what we want to do. Jesus says, whoever desires to save his life or to hold on to his life, Jesus says, they will lose it. He is talking about shutting God out of our lives. He is talking about refusing to allow God to have a real say in the day-to-day things of life. That God isn't allowed to tell us what we'll do with our time, what we'll do with our money, who we'll have as our friends. God isn't allowed to interfere in those choices. Those are our choices. We want to make those choices for ourselves. And Jesus tells us what will happen if we persist in that attitude. He is telling us that if we try to have a firm, tight grasp upon our own lives and say, this is my life and I will keep this life for myself, well, it will be as if our life is grains of sand. And the tighter we try to hold on to our lives, the more the sand will seep out through our fingers. The tighter we squeeze, the more quickly it will be gone. And Jesus says that if you want to save your life, if you want to keep your life just for you, Jesus assures us we will lose that life. And so he's asking us, who are we going to have in charge of our lives? Who are we going to seek to please most of all in life? Are you sure today that you're not a person who desires to save your life? Are you sure that you're not a person who's just holding on to your life for yourself? Maybe you live really in a little world of your own, a world of your own making, a world that centers around you. There are many, many people in the world like that. There are many people like that who would never darken the door of a church building. But there are people like that also who can be found in places of worship. But their worship is not an expression that they belong to the Lord, but it's a dead formality that they go through. It's something that's done to salve the conscience, to make them feel a bit better about themselves, to make them be able to think that I'm not a godless person. But really, they've no desire to hand over the controls to someone else, to give God charge, and to allow God to direct them wherever God desires them to go. There are people who acknowledge God with their lips, but he doesn't reign in their hearts. Jesus said that if you want to hold on to your own life, you will lose it. If you want to save your life, you will lose it. You will lose it, and it will be gone forever. And you can't get it back. And for all eternity, you will have to face up to the consequences of that choice that you kept that life for yourself. You don't want to lose your life. Nobody wants to lose their life, but Jesus says you will. If you try to hold on to it for yourself, you will lose it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, assures you today that that's the way it will be. And just as he told Peter that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and rise again, he was right. So when he says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, he's right. There are those who lose their lives but unwillingly. But then on the other hand, there are those who lose their lives in the sense Jesus is talking about, and they do so willingly. Jesus says that whoever loses his life for my sake, he refers to those who lose their lives willingly for his sake. And that is what it means to become a Christian. To become a Christian is to hand your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone truly becomes a Christian, that's what they do. They give the controls over to the Lord Jesus. And they say, from now on, it's not a matter of what I want to do, but it's a matter of what do you want me to do. It's what Jesus wants that really matters for a Christian. Now, why would somebody ever want to do that? Why would somebody ever want to give control of the only life they'll ever have into the hands of someone else, not knowing where that someone else is going to direct them and lead them? Why would someone be willing to give up their claim on their own life, to give up their own ambitions and their dreams and their desires in order to follow someone else? Why would you do that? Well, the answer is gratitude. People do that, and they do it out of gratitude for what they believe Jesus Christ has done for them. If you believe that, left to yourself, you're heading towards certain condemnation and eternal punishment, and if you believe that someone stepped in, and that someone was Jesus, and he took that condemnation that was yours, and he took the punishment that was yours, well then, out of gratitude, that is why people are willing to say, well, if you've done that for me, you can be in charge of my life. And I know that what you'll make of my life will be far better than what I would ever have made of my life. And out of gratitude, people want to honor Jesus Christ in all that they do. And so they willingly lose their lives. And they say, Lord, left to myself, I will wreck this thing. I will ruin this thing. My life story will be no good. And so I give my life to you. And you steer me whatever way you want me to go. You take charge of my life. I know that my life will not be wasted if you're in charge. Some people willingly lose their lives for Christ. I wonder, do you have that? Do you have that gratitude in your heart? Have you gladly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? And are you willing to believe that he will make something worthwhile out of you? What are you doing with the one life that God has given you to live? Are you still holding on to that life and saying it's mine? Or have you handed it over, surrendered ownership to the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what the Apostle Paul said about his life, Galatians 2:20. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Paul had left his old life, his life. He had left it behind. He had turned his back on his old ways where he did whatever he wanted to do. Before his conversion, Saul of Tarsus was a real rising star among the Jewish teachers. He was the one who was going to be the big name in days to come. He was really already making a major name for himself. But when Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus, he gave that all up. He abandoned trying to make a name for himself. And instead, it was the name of Jesus that he lived for the rest of his life. And the old Paul no longer existed. All his directions in life changed, and he became a new man in Jesus Christ. He lost his life in exchange for a different life instead. Jesus became the new man in charge of Paul's life. And when that happened in his experience, did anybody notice the difference? Well, indeed they did. Everybody noticed the difference. And if in anyone's life, there will be a real change and a noticeable change when there is this great change in management. When Jesus takes control, there is a change. Paul testifies to it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And that's the great need that we all have, that our old things, that they would pass away, and that Christ would bring new things instead into our life. There is an alternative, therefore, Jesus is teaching. There is an alternative to losing your life. You can't keep hold of your life. You're going to lose it. But instead of that, you can hand your life over to Jesus Christ. And that's what he urges us to do. He assures us that whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And instead he says, "Lose your life for me." So Jesus speaks about losing life, but he also speaks about finding life. And he has a wonderful promise here in this saying in Matthew 16, verse 25. He has a wonderful promise for all who will hand over control of their lives to the Lord Jesus. He says, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." When Jesus takes charge of a person's life, well, then that person's life changes. And they find something that they've never had before. They find something that's more wonderful than anything they've ever known before. Something that is far more precious than the best things that they've ever experienced until then. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." The life that Jesus promises to give is a more abundant life. And if you're here today and you know in your heart that Jesus isn't really in control of your life, and if you're afraid of what it means to become a Christian and to hand over your life to him, well, I would urge you not to think about the things that you would have to leave behind, but instead to consider what Jesus says you will gain. He comes to give us a more abundant life. Following Jesus, having him in charge, losing your life for him, is a whole different kind of life. And it is a more abundant life. Before I came here to be minister for 2 months, it was Dr. Rich Gantz from Ottawa who was here. And he was an out-and-out unbeliever. And then he became a Christian. And everything changed. And he had to leave behind the man-made religion that he had followed. He had to leave behind the the man-made psychology that he followed and taught, and he embraced a whole new life. And he found that that life was far more exciting than the life that he had to leave behind. And he found that when he came to trust in Christ, he wasn't mourning over the old way that he had to leave behind, but he was rejoicing over the new life that he found in Jesus Christ. And that's the same for everyone who truly becomes a Christian. It is a more abundant life that we find in Jesus. Perhaps there's something that may hold you back from truly following Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's something and you're just not sure you'd be willing to leave that behind. Well, that is the way the devil likes to work in our thoughts and in our hearts. And he tries to convince us that you would miss that so much, and you don't want to miss that thing. You know you would have to change, you would have to leave that behind, and you would miss it so much. And that's the thought that he puts in your mind. But the truth is that you wouldn't, because you would have a new heart. And the things that you know that you would have to leave behind, you'll actually want to leave those things behind. Because if you know that this is something that my Lord doesn't want to see in my life, well, you'll want to get rid of that thing. And Jesus gives you a whole new way of thinking, a whole new way of looking upon things. And those who become Christians don't miss out on things. Paul's life changed, but the things he had to leave behind, they were things that he was ashamed of. And we receive in Jesus Christ a life that is a more abundant life. The only way you can know what that life is that Jesus promises is by embracing it. You can't know it as an unbeliever. You can't be an unbeliever, someone who's not a Christian, and know what it is truly to be a Christian. You can only know it when that is true of you. At the minute, if you're not a Christian, you're missing out on the more abundant life that Jesus Christ promises. You're like a person, and you're putting all your money into a bank, and you know in your heart that that bank is going to go bust. You know it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen. It might be decades away. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to go bust. You're going to lose everything. And yet you keep on putting your money in there and putting your money in there and putting your money in there. Oh, that would be utter foolishness. And yet that's what people do. We cannot hold on to our present life. This life is not something that is going to keep on going. You can't keep on in this life and also have the hope of eternal life that Jesus gives. You have to choose. It's either my way or it's his way. We have to choose one or the other. We have to choose to hold on to our own lives or give it up for the more abundant life that he promises. You can't have it as a trial for a while and see, I'll have a bit of both and then I'll decide. It's one or the other. And those of you here who maybe for years and years you've been trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, recognize how blessed you are. Recognize what a wonderful thing that is. Realize that the things that could have been yours in life, those things would have done you no good whatsoever. You're far, far better off as a follower of the Lord Jesus, having that peace in your heart, knowing your sins to be forgiven, having that confidence of eternal life, not fearing what lies beyond this life. What you've lost wasn't really worth anything at all. What you've gained is the greatest thing you have, and it'll never be lost. The Apostle Peter, who got things so badly wrong in this chapter and part of Matthew 16, goes on to write this in 1 Peter 1, verse 4. He speaks about our inheritance as an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, that is reserved in heaven for you. Our riches are secure. Our bank isn't going to go bust. Our riches are stored up safely. They're not rusting away. They're not fading away. They're not devaluing, not being hit by inflation. They're kept, reserved in heaven for us. So as believers, let us not be at all envious of those who don't have that hope. Let's not think that people who are prospering in material things, but who have no heart for the Lord, let's not be envious of those people. Their riches are earthbound. Their riches are temporary. But for those who are in Christ, it is not so. Those who live for themselves will lose everything. Jesus says in the next verse in Matthew 16, "For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" And if you have lost your soul for the sake of Jesus Christ, you are not someone who has missed out on life. And do not feel sorry for yourself when you see people doing things and you can't do those things, because those things wouldn't honor Christ. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Realize how blessed you are. When you wake up on a Sabbath morning in your bed, sober, don't envy those who a few hours earlier were lying in the ground, wallowing about in their regurgitated alcoholic vomit. And what a great night they had. Don't be envious of those who are going to lose it all. Realize that you have the abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not going to lose it. And in this life, you'll appreciate it more and more. You're not a loser in Christ. You have made the greatest gain that can ever be made. What you have is the life that is truly life. Now, if I was to say to you today, as a mere man, if I was to say to you that whoever loses their life for my sake will find it, what an awful thing that would be. What an awfully arrogant thing that would be. What a deceiving statement that would be. What a controlling statement that would be, holding out to you the hope that would be an utterly empty hope. But Jesus Christ says it, and he can say it, and he means it. It's an astounding statement that whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Who does Jesus think he is? Well, he thinks he is the Son of God, and he thinks that he alone can give abundant life to everyone who hands over their lives to him. And today, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be your judge, says to you that whoever desires to save their life will lose it. But he says that whoever loses his life for me will find it. There's a life that can be lost forever, and there's a life that can be found forever. Moses urged us to choose life. Jesus urges us to find life. And he teaches us in his word that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And we find life and we choose life when we find the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Whenever he takes charge of our lives, we find that more abundant life. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. May God grant that we will find that life and know what a find that is. Amen.